Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
All right, last week I shared on rest and confidence, two seemingly opposite things. Like, how do you have rest and confidence and go for it? And how many of you know confidence comes out of rest? How many of you experienced that in your life? Anyone in the room? You've experienced confidence that comes out of being in a place of rest. And as soon as we go into striving, it's like the rest just evaporates and we lose all confidence. And so I was spending time in just asking God, you know, where we're going, what we're doing, and as a church, look, how do we have confidence and find rest as a church? And God just reminded me of Psalm 68 and just the word that He gave to us in terms of praise. And how powerful was it just at the end of worship? Just we crown Him with every praise. We crown Him with the song of our hearts. We crown Him with giving up a shout of praise. And Psalm 68 is a psalm, if you're visiting or if you're new here, it's just a psalm that God gave us in I think it was 2018, where God mandated us to lift up a sound of praise. And we can start as a ministry and we can start asking questions, you know, how do we change our community? How do we change our nation? How do we bring life to this beautiful nation of ours? How do we change the people around us? How do we go out and reach people with Jesus? We can send surveys into the community and we can ask how it's going and find out and all of those things. But God says, we don't have to go check out there how it's going to figure out what to do. We've got to start praising in here, and then that sound is going to go out. So we take what's in here and we take it out there. And it's the community out there that goes, whoa, there's something different taking place. On people that are coming out of church, people that are coming out of a place of praise. And they're seeing something different. And that's how God wants to transform nations. Listen, that's how God is going to transform nations, through the sound of praise. I'm just going to talk to the pillow. It's going to probably give me more feedback, you know. But this is a prophetic word. God is going to transform nations through the sound of praise. Even the most violent, dirty, darkest corners of the world, God is transforming through the sound of praise. And He's calling His church to come and lift up a sound of praise. Calling us to rest and have confidence. In Psalm 68 verse 25, it says, the singers go in front. Come on, those who sing lead the way. Those who sing establish the way. The church can't be transformed by outside pressure, by outside feelings and emotions and things that are taking place outside. No, the church lifts up a sound of praise and truth is established. Identity is established. God sets His way before us. We can't as a church be trying to figure out how we fit the world into the church. No, we take the kingdom into the world. And that only happens when we lift up a sound of praise. That only happens when we shout and we're confident in rest in God's presence. Come on, guys. This is something that God wants to remind us of. It says in verse 26, bless, give thanks, and gratefully praise God in full congregations. Come on, there's a call on congregations to be full. I keep repeating it, Sunday after Sunday. Don't miss a Sunday. Because unless this church is full, we're not seeing the fullness of the promise. And if we're not seeing the fullness of the promise in here, we're not going to see the fullness of the promise out there. So don't lie in bed too late on a Sunday morning. There's a word that says bless and give praise in full congregations. If I see an empty seat, which I'm looking at right now, saying, church, come on, we've got to lift up. Don't forget. God is, if you want to see corruption ended in this nation, come to church on Sunday and praise. Why? Okay, let me let it sink in. Verse 30 says, rebuke the wild beasts dwelling among the reeds, the herd of bulls with their calves of the people, trample underfoot those who lust for tribute money, aka corruption income. So first a sound of praise, then God rebukes the corrupt. So if you're not lifting up a sound of praise, God's not rebuking the corrupt. Psalm 68, verse 25 to 30. Go read it. How did that land? All right, let's go to Isaiah 60. Verse 17. Here's a promise. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, I will bring bronze. Instead of stone, I will bring iron. Instead of the tyranny of the present, I will appoint peace as your officers and righteousness as your taskmasters. Remember last week we spoke about on the other hand. Jesus said, but on the other hand. Today's word is instead. Instead. Instead of bronze. Instead of gold. Instead of iron. I'm speaking to our nation today. I'm speaking to this church today. You know what happens when a community, when a nation gets broken? When it gets broken, people lose hope and they settle for second best. I like my solar system now. I'm proud of it. Sorry to the solar installers. But you know what? It's second best. It's second best. It's not what God has in store for us. I like my security fence. It keeps me safe. You know what? That's second best. This nation should be a nation without violence. It should be a nation without crime. It should be a nation without corruption. Yet, as things get worse, the temptation of the nation is to settle for second best. Have you noticed how you'd just be happy with electricity now? But go back to 2010, maybe go back even to 2004, 2005, before we ever had load shedding. There were other problems you were thinking about. Now the problems have compounded and you're just happy with second best. And God says, I want you to have the best. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for bronze when I've destined gold. Don't settle for iron when I've destined silver. Don't make a wood sculpture when you can make a bronze sculpture. Niku, he's a bronze sculptor. Sculptorer. he's not a bronze sculptor, he's a bronze sculptorer. Don't settle for second best. You've got to settle for the promise of God. Some people have the gold and silver. The bronze and iron speaks of lowered expectations. The wood and the stone speaks of lower value. But When God gives us gold and silver, what he's speaking about is ownership versus laboring. God wants to, if you're going to use bronze and iron instead of gold and silver, what God is saying is, I'm going to give you gold and silver instead of bronze and iron. He's saying, I'm going to take away the striving and the laboring, and I'm going to give you ownership and insight. And you're going to be part of the people that directs a nation. It's only three people that want to lead the nation. If you can receive that, if you say, God, I see that. I see what you're talking about. I see that we've maybe settled for second best, but now I'm going to focus my eyes on what you've called us to. The moment you do that, that's when you start leading the nation. And there's two kinds of people groups that he wants to give. Or two things. He said, yeah, I'm going to make peace your officer and righteousness your taskmaster. Come on. Your government officer is going to represent peace. Has anyone recently equated government office to peace? Okay, there's people in government sitting in this room. That's reality. Not looking at you, Nikki. Carrying righteousness in the office. Peace. But here's what peace is, and this is why praise starts here. This is what praise does. Praise prepares your heart to expect gold and silver instead of bronze and iron. Praise prepares your heart to expect gold and silver instead of bronze and iron. That's why God sent the worship team. Hey, we're gonna take Jericho. All right, where's the electric guitarists? Where's the bassists? Where's the drummers? Come on, you guys go. You're going to take Jericho. What's happening? God's preparing. Two things are happening. First, God is striking fear into the heart of the enemy. Imagine you're the enemy and you want to scare the Israelites coming. And they come and they sing happy songs while you do your haka and your hoo-ha. What's happening in the heart of the enemy? What's happening? Come on. Fear, the power of fear is taken away. Let me say this. The world is ruled through the power of fear. Those who distribute fear are more fearful than the people they're trying to make afraid. Their bark is very loud. Have you ever come to a yard and the dog's barking loudly? And you open the gate and the dog's like... That's what happens. The enemy is like that. We need to start seeing that those who spread fear are more afraid. They're more afraid of those who are righteous than of those who are than the righteous are afraid of them. Does it make sense? I know it doesn't come out in perfect English, but you got it. That's the one thing. The second thing is, man, you busy worshiping, you busy praising, and the storehouse is being prepared. You're starting to see the kingdom the way it should be. You're starting to see the treasure. You're starting to see what God has called us to. You're starting to understand, wow, this is so valuable. This is so special. This is so... We don't... God didn't call us to worship and to come in here and be all like... No, there's a sound of praise that needs to burst forth. And if I have to preach it every Sunday until this church is full, until we're starting to see government people being transformed, until we're starting to see communities transformed, then so be it. Because God has called us and given us a mandate to praise. And we won't stop praising until we see our nation transformed. We're not going to wait for our nation to be transformed and then lift up a sound of praise. We lift it up now. And we keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going. So it says in verse 18, Psalm 60, violence shall no more be heard in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. But you will call your salvation, your walls salvation, and your gates praise. So the only way to enter into the promise is through the gate of praise. And then we look at the walls, and the walls are of salvation. I want to speak very strongly against the lie that gets spoken. It says, church, we need to get outside of the four walls of the church. I want to say today, the four walls of the church are salvation. Can I say that again? The four walls of the church is salvation. And you can only enter into it through the gates of praise. And there's a whole group of people outside that don't want to enter through the gates of praise and stand within the walls of salvation. I want to break that lie. There's people sitting at home today because they don't want to come into the four walls of the church. They haven't entered through the gates of praise this morning. Come to church through the gates of praise. Stand in the four walls of salvation. Worship the Lord in full congregations. If you're on TV, come to church. If you're listening on podcast, you thought today, hey, I'm just going to listen in the week, whenever it suits me, come to church. Come and stand in full congregations and praise Him together. We need to be praising in full congregations. God has given us that mandate over every believer, every Christian. What are offices of peace? What are offices of peace? Peace as offices. James 3, 14 to 18. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It says, if you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, listen, advertise it. Advertise your life with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never boast or brag about what you've done, and you'll prove that you're truly wise. But if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it. And try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony or fake. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom. But it can be best described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. So wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, so also you will find many troubles and every kind of meanness. Come on, when we go out into the world, any form of bitterness, any form of contention, any form of wickedness is the spirit of jealousy. People positioning themselves against people. We love going up into the veld with our kids. And one of our favorite activities in the mountain is to find scorpions. Anyone love finding scorpions? one person. And we find a rock and we uncover it. And there's all sorts of things creeping underneath there. See, when you find jealousy, you also find all kinds of other troubles. If you see trouble, know that there's jealousy. If you see wickedness, know that there are people that have set themselves up against people. That can't happen in an atmosphere of praise. That can't happen when a full congregation comes together and lifts up a sound of gratefulness. That can't happen when a congregation is united in one voice in their glory and their honor of God. God removes all of that bitterness, takes away all of that contention, wipes out all of that fear, and we start moving together. The one way that leaders purposefully break a nation is to spread lies of hatred, sow seeds of disunity, sow seeds of jealousy. Because they know if the nation is divided against themselves, no one will trust anyone, and they get to set the course, whichever course they want to go on. So God's saying, nation of South Africa, rise up and lift up a sound of praise. So we can destroy the lies of the enemy. Take away the bitterness, the contention, the evilness, and replace it with truth and honesty. The church is the pillar, the mainstay of truth, says the Bible. There is no truth without the church. Yes, there's the truth that God always existed. But Jesus says, you, church, are the light of the world. You reveal my likeness to the world. So the statement that the church is the mainstay, the pillar of truth, says that the world can't see truth unless the church lives the truth. Then in verse 17 of James 3, it says, but on the other hand, said Jesus, on the other hand, the wisdom from above is always pure, filled with peace, considerate, and teachable. It is filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form. It always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. Those who want to become officers of peace. That's the office of peace. It destroys bitterness and contention between people, and it points to the truth of who God is. Righteousness is the harvest of those who work for and make peace. Matthew 8 is a very interesting story. Talks about how righteousness becomes your taskmaster. What is a taskmaster of righteousness? Matthew 8 verse 5, as Jesus came into Capernaum, a centurion came up to him, begging him, and saying, Lord, my servant boy is lying at home, paralyzed and distressed with intense pain. Listen to the metaphor behind that story. His servant is lying at home, paralyzed, unable to do work. Luke 7 is the same story. Luke 7 verse 2. It says, a centurion with a bondservant who was held in honor and highly valued by him was sick and at the point of death. Back in Matthew 8, the stories in both chapters, Luke 7 and Matthew 8. Jesus said to him, I'll come and restore him. But the centurion replied to him, Lord, I am not worthy or fit to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant boy will be cured. For I am also a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does that. And when Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those following him, I have not found so much faith as this with anyone. Like, this is Jesus walking, and he finds this centurion, and he says about this centurion, this is the guy with the most faith I have ever seen. How many of you would like Jesus to say that about you? he's saying, even in Israel, this guy right here is the guy with the most faith. And then he even goes on to say, this guy is going to sit with the kingdom, with Abraham, with Jacob. And even the high priests, they're not going to be there. They're not going to be able to see the kingdom. But this guy, why? Because this guy understands that the tasks are righteous, and he's committed to doing them. And he's also working in an environment where he receives authority, but he knows his authority can be given. And he says, I say, and they do. So our goal, our mandate as a church, is to introduce people to obedience to the kingdom, to his righteousness. And we don't have the option to choose when we want to do things or not when it comes to the call of the kingdom and obedience to his word. Jesus says, this guy understands authority, he obeys, and he also knows how to give authority in the kingdom. I've not seen anyone with more faith than this guy. If you want to live by faith, be obedient. But be bold in your direction giving. Be bold in your what you say. Don't stand back when the enemy comes against you. When people say, should I or shouldn't I? Or I don't feel like it. Or I don't want to. No, church, we're going to praise. That is my bold declaration of direction. We don't have an option on whether we want to be obedient or not. We're doing this loving your kids on purpose course. And this is God's response to the disobedient. How's that working out for you? That's his response. You see, if we choose disobedience, we live in the consequence of disobedience. And God's going, how's that working out for you? How's that working out? Is it great? Are you experiencing peace in your nation? Are you living in a land without violence? How's it working out? How's it working out? We're not just here to lead everyone to Jesus so that they can say they're saved. We're yet to actually see the kingdom of God manifest amongst every person. We're yet to actually see every person mature to the level of Christ. That's the standard that he set. That's what we called for. So how's it working out when we're not obedient to his word and his calling and his mandate? Or how's it working out when we are obedient? And we do live in his presence. And we do see his kingdom on our lives. That's the freedom he gives us. He gives us the freedom to choose to obey. He does. But then he asks, how's it working out? That's part of the kingdom. See, in Luke 7, I want to go back to the story of the centurion. It says in verse 4, it says, well, let's just read it in Luke 7. When the centurion heard of Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and make his bondservant well,
And when they reached Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, "He is the centurion, is worthy that you should do this for him." And I underlined this, "For he loves our nation, and he built us our synagogue at his own expense." Come on, this centurion who has a servant at home, who's sick, who's Roman, loves the nation, and he built a place of worship at his own expense. That's why they could go and say, "This guy is worthy that you come." Then the centurion says, "I'm not worthy that Jesus enters into my house, but just say the word, because I understand the power of authority. I understand the power of being aligned with the word of God. I understand the power of seeing his word spoken and it manifest. Just say the word." Jesus says, "I've not seen anyone with more faith." You see, when we understand that our actions come from a master, and that taskmaster is righteousness, then we align easily with righteousness. And we say, "God, send me. Send me. Where can I go? What can I do?" God says, "Come and praise. Come and praise." When righteousness is your taskmaster, you say yes. That was Matthew 8. If you go to Matthew 11 then, Jesus says, "But what shall I liken this generation to?" Now he's not talking to the church sitting here this morning. He's talking to the world out there. What shall I liken the world to, this generation? Verse 10. No, wait, where am I? I'm in 11. 10. What did I say? 11:16. "But what shall I liken this generation to? It's like little children sitting in the marketplace, and they called to their playmates, 'Hey, we piped to you. We played the wedding and you didn't dance. So we thought you would like it if we play the funeral song and you didn't mourn and beat your breasts and weep aloud.'" And the Passion Translation translates that so that we can understand it better. He says, this generation is like kids in the market that said, "Let's pretend we're at a wedding." And they said, "No." "So, oh, okay, well, let's pretend we're at a funeral." In other words, the generation, we're in this environment of praise. We're saying, "Come and praise." The world's going, "Yeah." Okay, fine, let's be sad. Let's sing sad songs. Because you look sad. They're going, "Yeah, well, I don't want to be involved either. I just want to keep to myself, doing my own thing." Jesus says, "Sodom and Gomorrah will be judged more righteously than those who have seen the presence of God but don't want to get involved with what's happening in his temple, in the community. You've seen the presence. You've seen the miracles performed in front of you. You've seen what God has. You've seen the power and the glory. But you don't want to commit your life to being a part of what God is doing." How did that land? Verse 15, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him be listening. Let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing. Go to 28. Verse 28. I was, just before I read verse 28, I was listening, just a song came up. Just this morning, as I was just going through my notes again, the song is called Gold by Leland. And he starts to just prophetically proclaim, God, you're healing all our wounds with gold, making all things beautiful. We shall be whole. Even our scars turn to gold. Don't love your scars and your wounds and the bitterness and the jealousy and all of that as it is. Allow it to be transformed into gold. If there's any bit of a resistance to this message because of a wound that's carried, because of a fear of not being able to live in the kingdom, not being able to see his presence at work, a fear that God might even be real. You know, I see Christians that go through the motions and they do the things and they like the churchy stuff, but the moment God is real, there's a sense of, whoa, I'm afraid of this. God wants to take your wounds, whatever they are, wherever they are, and he wants to transform them into gold. He wants to give you gold instead of bronze, silver instead of iron. South Africa, our saving grace isn't solar panels. It's a grid that works like it should, at a cost that is effective, managed by people and a government that have the heart of every person, because their eyes are on the kingdom. Their eyes are focused on Jesus. We're not going to settle for second best. We're going to call out the gold in our nation and allow the wounds of our nation to be healed, transformed into gold. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest." Take my yoke. You notice how Jesus doesn't say, hey, cow or donkey or mule, be free. He says, take my yoke. Be yoked in. Be a part of the procession. He's not saying, go run in the field, do your own thing. I heard a quote, I can't remember who said it. I heard it somewhere in the week. Someone was saying, if you're overburdened and tired, it's because of a lack of faith. In other words, you're striving in things that God hasn't called you to. A lack of promise. Jesus is saying, if you're burdened and heavy laden, take note. Come to me. I'll give you a direction. I'll give you a calling. I'll give you a purpose that is light. My yoke, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome and my burden is light and easy to be borne. That's what God wants to call the church for. Come into the fold. Come into his purpose, his calling for our lives. Take that purpose and calling on our lives. Say, God, give me that promise. I believe every person in this church has a specific purpose and a calling. And it's not related to preaching in the church. That's the higher calling. There's a difference. But he gives every person a purpose, a mandate to take the kingdom of God into the community. But the only way you're going to see the gold and silver in the communities through the gates of praise. And that's what he's calling us to. It's easy and it's light. The burden is easy, it's light when we step into the kingdom and follow his call. Amen. Amen, amen. I just want to call the prayer team up. I don't know if you guys have something specific. This specific. Okay, so I just want to just call out if anyone is trusting for a miracle in their lives, whatever it is, why don't you stand right where you are right now? If you're trusting for a miracle, stand where you are. If I can ask the prayer team to come stand in the front. And I'm going to just, if you're trusting for a miracle, 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 whatever it is, I'm going to invite you to come to the front, onto the carpet, wait in line, allow the prayer team just to pray for you and minister to you and trust for a supernatural miracle in your lives. God says, my burden is easy, my yoke is light, but I'm going to be there to make a way for you. I'm going to break open the doors for you. I'm going to teach you how to trust in and rely on my supernatural presence. Because that's what the supernatural does, is it breaks through the gateways. It breaks down the enemy gates and it takes us into the kingdom. Can we just stand everyone together where we are? Just receive this word this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that has been spoken to us, planted in our hearts. We thank you that your kingdom is real, that your kingdom is upon us. We declare today, Lord, that we will worship and praise you until we see your kingdom manifest on earth as it is in heaven. And so we lift up a shout of praise this morning in victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just lift up a shout of praise, Father? Justin, if you want to quickly share, just hold on. If you just want to quickly share that, and if there's anyone else, just call them out as well.
Just a final call, just to appropriate what Daniel was speaking about. So if you're not standing in front for what is called out, just the instead part and the instead of this, that the Lord gives you this. I just felt strong, the hurt for the gold. If there's hurt that you need to surrender or give up, I would love to pray with you and then to trade with the Lord this morning. So this morning, just if there is hurt that's been hurting for many years or many months, just to come to a place this morning and say, Lord, I want to take your yoke, which is wholesome, and trade with the Lord and receive gold this morning is what I sense. That it's time, it is time to let go. And it's time to give to the Lord that hurt and get the gold instead of that. So if that's you, come forward. We would love to pray with you this morning. God bless you this morning. Have a cup of coffee. Hug someone along the way. And what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you. Enjoy your afternoon.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.